Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Part of the show where they say, sorry, Frank stepped out. He's on his phone right now. Charlie stepped out. It's an excused absence today on the Midday Grind. Martin Kilcoyne with you on this Friday. And if ever it's an excused absence, I would say this is it. Chuck Marlowe. Boy, the ladies' man that he was for years. Settled down, found himself a beautiful wife. And now Chuck Marlowe is a dad.
Bonzo.
Bonzo is not the name of the baby girl that arrived this morning. Everybody likes the details. And I was going to say, oh, that's a big kid. That's a small kid. I don't remember anymore what quantifies. Janie Mae Marlowe arrived this morning at 7:59 a.m. 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 20.25. So 20 and a quarter inches long. There you go. It's the last time you'll be asking a woman's weight right there.
It's
the only time
that's
appropriate. Is when they're born. So congrats to Charlie and Jess Marlowe. Baby Janie Mae has arrived as of this morning. So Chuck is out today, but our Fox 2 colleague Jober will be here. That's why Strick has left the building. Jober's jokes of the week, every couple of weeks. Now, we thought, you know, it was too gratuitous to do it once a week. It was too much of a good thing? Question mark. So now we do it every other week, and he told me last night, Dave Jobe, longtime sports producer, Fox 2, also joke teller extraordinaire, that he would be doing baby-related jokes today.
Like subjects of babies or jokes for babies?
Well, I mean, his humor tends to trend for, like, juveniles. I'm not sure if these are jokes that babies would laugh at. Maybe jokes for a new dad. In Chuck Marlowe. So serious congrats to Charlie, Jess, and the Marlowe's on the arrival of baby Janie Mae, born this morning. Mom is doing well, according to my report. So we're happy to hear that. And we're here till 1 o'clock. Going to talk to Mark Lamping in just a little bit. What a career Mark has had. We talked to him a few weeks ago because the Jaguars headed to the postseason. And honestly, when we had him on, I think it was because it's one of those ones where you better get him on soon because they'll be done soon. We didn't really think they'd make it this far. But the Jaguars are going up to New England this weekend, and I've made the argument, made it on TV last night. These are the Stallions of the South. Remember, St. Louis was getting a team. Somehow, St. Louis screwed it up, and the NFL said, boy, you guys really don't have your act together. We'll come back to you down the road. And the Jacksonville Jaguars came to be instead of the Stallions. So really, this is the roots of the Stallions. Down there in Jacksonville. You got a team president who went to Vianney, went to Rutgers College. Shad Khan, who's an Illinois guy who owned the Rams for like a minute. If you think about it, he got the original Heisman from Enos because he owned the team, was out at Rams Park, like shaking hands, meeting people. But Enos, laying in the weeds, had a six-month window, I think, where he could match. And he literally waited till the last day because he could. And if you're thinking, God, did he do that? Did he do that just to be an ass? Or is it because his interest was accruing on that money that he'd have to put down? Yes. And yes, both. That's exactly why I did it. So you got to like Shad Khan.
Is Shad Khan the second best Rams owner in St. Louis? Just behind Georgia? And then by default, he's second because he's not Stan?
Yes. I will grant you that. Yeah, God bless Chip and Lucia. Nice enough people. Really weren't in the NFL game, I don't think. And he didn't want to really be in the NFL game. But they love St. Louis. You know what? I will say this. If they had the money to hang in there as owners, which they didn't, and a lot of it's a big, long, convoluted thing, but the Rams were highly leveraged. Georgia borrowed a lot of money. So once it became available for selling that paid off a lot of the debt. If Chip and Lucia had the money to be NFL owners, and they got plenty of money, they're fine. Don't worry about them. We're not having a bake sale. But not NFL money after all the debt was paid off. They would have loved to have stayed here because they love the embrace that their mom got after being mocked and not driven out of L.A., but T.J. Simers, the columnist there, used to just openly mock Georgia as an owner. So by the time she got here and it was a celebrated return, now those kids love St. Louis and were, I'm told, and I don't know it for a fact, but they were heartbroken the way it went down. So nonetheless, Mark Lamping will join us in a little bit. Also want to get into this baseball maneuvering, and really we'll leave it to the texters. Do you think this is a good initiative? So Rob Manfred, and it's not only about, you know, the pace of the game, pace of play. I think this is also the latest owners poking the players because you have this whole freeze out that's going on with free agency. Now the money is out of hand, but it's the owner's fault that it got to this point. But clearly, you know, back in the day, that word collusion, there was a lot of collusion and then there was lawsuits. It feels like there's some collusion right now. Everybody's saying, no, don't give Hosmer $150 million. Don't go $200 million on these guys. That's crazy talk that they're all on the same page. How convenient. Well, so they're kind of poking the bear by doing that. And now Major League Baseball says, we're going to do this. We're going to change the rules and the Players Association. We don't really care. We're just going to do it. I don't think it's the worst thing, although baseball, to me, the beauty of baseball, the reason we love it in part, is there's no clock. You're not staring at the clock. You're just there enjoying the game. Everything else in this world, you're looking at your watch, you're looking at your phone, got to be there, got to be on time. There's a clock, shot clock in basketball. Hurry up, shoot. Uh-oh, game's almost over. How do you know? Clock's hitting zero. Baseball, there's no clock. However, here's the plan. A 20-second pitch clock, regardless of whether there's a runner on base or not, with the clock able to reset if the pitcher steps off the rubber. Now, that I don't get because then they'll just keep stepping off the rubber.
Right, yeah.
Wouldn't that just defeat the whole purpose? But the other thing is all the mound visits. Chris Bosio was famous with the Cubs going out there, and the Boz would just sort of strut out there and take his time. A pitcher will get one warning per game for violating the clock. And then he's going to be penalized one ball per violation after that. As far as mound visits, any trip to the mound by a manager, coach, or player, or trip off the mound by a pitcher to go talk to another player, that counts as a visit, and a pitcher must leave the game after a second such visit. Now, during the middle of April, the middle of May, this all may play out just fine. But start thinking about postseason baseball. And those games are really long. And it does suck when it's late at night, especially when you, I don't know, happen to be a Fox affiliate and you're on the air at midnight. But the playoff games, and they are really long, that's when I don't mind it. Because every pitch makes such a big difference. You got the mound visit, the up-close shot by Fox of the nervous dugout. I don't know. I don't know if I like this hurrying it up when I start thinking of October baseball. These are minimal moves. They say it'll save maybe up to 10 minutes per game. I don't really think that's going to change anyone's perspective on the game. If you go to a baseball game, you like sitting there, relaxing, not being in a hurry. And this is going to try and hurry things up a little bit. I don't think it's going to appeal to a new generation of fans. So they're trying to pick up the pace. What do you think? 855-282-8255 is the text line here for 590 The Fan. Couple of spots left. I'm told, I didn't realize this, but we have a limited number that we're selling to the AFC-NFC Championship Party on Sunday. And there's a couple of spots, that's it. A couple of spots left. And what it is, doors open at 1:30 for our party. Bud Light, Bud Draft, Bud Select, it'll all be flowing. I don't think there's a Bud Draft anywhere. Drafts of Bud Beer will be flowing. And then the buffet. Plus, you get a raffle ticket. We've got the drawings going. All of it for $30. You buy those tickets at 590thefan.com. We're all going to be hanging out there at the Hot Shots in Fenton. And again, limited number of tickets are left available. 590thefan.com. Is he on the line? I'm sorry. Oh, you need to borrow my phone. Okay, sorry. We're just behind the scenes maneuvering here. Why don't we do this, Sally? I'm going to take an early break. We're going to get coordinated. We're going to talk to Mark Lamping momentarily. Oh, I should have looked at my phone, which is what you were telling me. We'll come back a little bit, but a reminder, get those tickets now. AFC NFC Championship Party this Sunday at the Hot Shots in Fenton at 590thefan.com.